The epistle appointed for the feast of Christ the King is taken from St. Paul, letter to the Colossians. Brethren, we give thanks to God the Father, who has made us worthy to share the lot of the saints in light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For in him were created all things in the heavens and on the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers. All things have been created through and unto him, and he is before all creatures, and in him all things hold together. Again, he is the head of the body, the church. He who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all in all things he may have the first place. For he has pleased God the Father, that in him all fullness should dwell, and that through him he should reconcile to himself all things, whether on the earth or in the heavens, making peace through the blood of his cross in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please let us stand for the Holy Gospel, which is taken from the Apostle St. John, chapter 18. At that time Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Dost thou say this of thyself, or have others told thee of me?" Pilate answered, "I am a Jew. Thy own people and the chief priests have delivered thee to me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would certainly have fought that I might make, but that I might not be delivered to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Thou art then a king?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest it. I am a king. This is why I was born, and why I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In his magnificent encyclical, published on 1925, Pope Pius XI instituted this feast of Christ the King. He instituted this feast to be observed on the last Sunday of the month of October, to worship his kingly office. It is then at the end of the liturgical year, the feast of the kingship of Christ, which sets the crowning glory upon the mysteries of the life of Christ that we have already been commemorated during the year, all of the Sundays after Pentecost. And before celebrating the triumph of all saints, this week, November the 1st, we proclaim and extol the glory of him who triumphs in all the saints. The Holy Father, Pius XI, explains why we call our Lord King. A title that does not probably mean in our modern age the same as in older historical times when kings of this earth were the rulers. However, there are profound reasons why do we continue to call and to address and to worship Christ as a king. And that will bring upon us special consideration and consequences in our spiritual lives. On account of original sin, the effects were a complete disorder in the passions of man. Sin entered into the world. Consequently, there was no way by which man could be able to redeem himself. It was because of this that God the Father sent his only begotten Son for us and for our redemption. And by the sacrifice of the cross, all the graces necessary for salvation has been bestowed upon us, not based upon our own merits, but on account of the mercy of God. Our Lord Jesus is true God and true man. As it has been written in the Old Testament, there are indeed many scriptural proofs regarding the office of Christ as a true king. As we read in the text of today's liturgy, if we go through the texts, in the Missal, we see the introit of the Mass, very first prayer that the priest just prayed. The introit is taken from the hymn which St. John heard in heaven. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and divinity and wisdom and strength and honor. To him be the glory and empire forever and ever. The exaltation of Jesus Christ is, according to St. Paul, in proportion to the humiliation endured in obedience to his heavenly Father. Wherefore St. John, before speaking of the glory of the Lamb, recalls his sacred passion and says that he was immolated and slain. Then we go to Psalm 71 that the choir was singing. It points out the messianic office of Christ in the world. He shall rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. All and all kings shall adore him. All nations shall serve him. Pius XI brings the theological reasons of this loyalty of Christ as king. First of all, is what the church calls a hypostatic union. That means the union of the divine person of our Lord with his human nature. Our Lord is king because he is God. Cyril of Alexandria, father of the church, points out, Christ, he says, has dominion over all creatures, a dominion not seized by violence, not usurped, but by his essence and by his nature. Then, by reason of this hypostatic union, Christ has power over all creatures. This lordship of Christ consists in a threefold power of Savior, Priest, and King. His Savior, because we were redeemed by his most precious blood, as of a lamb unspotted and undefiled. He is the High Priest, who is the one who, by the sacrifice of the cross, united heaven and earth. He offered himself and continues to offer himself as a victim for our sins. And he is a king. Jesus is given to man as the lawgiver to whom obedience is due. For neither doth the Father judge any man, but hath given all judgment to the Son, we read in the scriptures. In this power is included the right of rewarding and punishing all men living, for this right is inseparable from that of judging. He described his kingdom as a spiritual one and concerned with spiritual things. That is, on many occasions when the apostles and the crowds acclaimed him king, he shrank from the honor and fled from the multitudes. Before the Roman magistrate, he said that this kingdom, his kingdom, was not of this world. And the Gospels present his kingdom not as a merely human one. When the Jews and even the apostles supposed that he was going to restore the liberties of the kingdom of Israel, he denied that suggestion. His kingdom of justice and peace is one that it is obtained by an external rite of baptism, which produces an interior change of a new spiritual man, and also by a spiritual detachment from earthly things. He indicated that whoever wants to become a member of his kingdom must hunger and thirst after justice, be pure of heart, and most of all, shall deny himself and carry the cross. Since all power comes from Christ and has been given to him in heaven and on earth, all legitimate authority has this basic foundation as Christ to be the king of public and private life in families, states, and nation. We have to see Christ represented in lawful authority. Those who are parents, for example, who hold any office of authority, should know that that certain capacity of ruling others by virtue of that office has not been given by their own right, but by the mandate and in the place of the divine king. According to a liturgical commentator, Father Schuster points out that the kingdom of Christ does not depend upon the world, but comprehends the world. Jesus did not come to the throne the sovereigns of the earth and to take from them the domains over which they rule. He comes rather to give to human society the last end and the most perfect rule, and lays down in the gospel the supreme laws of truth and justice to guide both rulers and subjects in the exercise of their mutual duties. God is a supernatural end of man. He is the supreme giver of the law. The Word of God is the law by whom all has been made, in whom all things have been created. We must consider the principles of this nature of our Lord Jesus Christ as King then in our lives. And we can ask this question to ourselves today, this morning. Is our Lord Jesus Christ daily in practice and all our actions, in all our thoughts, truly our King? He said, I am the truth. Therefore, he should reign in our intellects and in our hearts. Does he reign by charity in our souls and in our families? Our Lord Jesus Christ must again become the King of our wills, and we must conform our wills to his law. To his law of love, to his law of charity, to the commandments which he has given us, and which he himself told us encompass all other commandments, to love God and to love one's neighbor. By fathers of families, as good patriarchs, leading the family in prayer, by the enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the homes and in the families, by gathering together during the family rosary, that is the way in which we start building the kingdom of Christ. There is not going to be peace in our homes if we neglect our main duty to worship the most sacred heart of our King. In the encyclical Quas Primas that we have been quoting, the Holy Father says, once men recognize both in private and in public life that Christ is King, society will at last receive the great blessings of real liberty, well-ordered discipline, peace and harmony. In 1922, a few years before the publishing of this encyclical establishing this feast of Christ as King, the Holy Father wrote another letter in 1922 because of the years that followed the First World War, calling it the peace in Christ, in the kingship of Christ. And he reflects back on those days following the First World War, and we can apply these words, we can see whether we can apply the words of the Holy Father to our present day. And I will just bring an example. Back in 2004, the European Union revised its constitution, and in rewriting its preamble, there was a furious debate whether the word Christianity could be acknowledged as being a component of its commitment to human rights, democracy, and the rule of law. The European Union decision was to finally delete the word Christianity from its new constitution and therefore denied its Christian past. And going back to Pope Pius XI, he comments on the chapter of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 1, "They that have forsaken the Lord shall be consumed." He says that because men have forsaken God and Jesus Christ, they have sunk to the depths of evil. It was a quite general desire that both our laws and our governments should exist without recognizing God or Jesus Christ. Authority, therefore, authority itself lost its hold upon mankind and also lost that secure basis for the supreme criterion of justice. Everything then has been reduced to a series of conflicts, to the domination of the majority or supremacy of special interests. At this mess, let us pray to be proud, to serve and to fight under the banner of Christ, as we read in the post-communion prayer, and that all nations and each one of us may be happy to live under the sweet yoke of the law of Christ. God bless you, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.